Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning to you out there. Good morning, everybody. Here we are. It's Monday morning, August the 11th, 2014, and there is so much to talk about. Today, our show, we will be talking about two great topics. our first topic is how to get in college, how to get the scholarship money, how to get the sponsorship. It's really, really important to be able to get the money to go to college. It's also important to know what to do to get into college. So this is for the parents. This is for the young people that are listening. And then our second topic for the day will be AfroStyle Magazine. AfroStyle Magazine, we will be talking to the Chief Executive Officer, Amaka, and we will also be talking to one of the other owners of the company. And I will have all that information for our 10 o'clock segment all ready for you. We'll be talking to Mr. Jason Maddox, Amaka and Jason Maddox. So we'll be talking to the whole show. I'm kind of messed up this morning because something happened again, and it keeps on happening, and I don't know what to do about it, but I just have the Holy Ghost chills, and so I can't help myself. Got to tell you guys this. You probably already know that a young man was shot and killed in Missouri. And his grandmother, my heart goes out to his family, you know, his grandmother. I want to give a shout-out to Ms. Desiree Harris. Her grandson, Michael Brown, was shot to death by the Ferguson Police Department in Missouri. And he was shot a lot of times. Okay, he was a minor. He was a teenager. This is all over the news. This police brutality stuff is really, really out of control. It's out of control. And I am so fed up. So I just want to say to everybody out there, want you to pray for the family. The family needs so much prayer. I just can't believe it. It just makes me upset. And I'm sure it makes you upset too, because that's someone's son, that's someone's grandson, that's someone's nephew, that's someone's cousin, that's someone's brother, okay? It is a human being, a family member. Okay, we already had the guy in New York, and oh yeah, by the way, let me just give you a quick little update. The lady that was beaten on the freeway by the highway patrol, Ms. Pinnock, I saw her on the news, and this is the news, okay? Saw her on the news, wonderful. She has an attorney. She has filed a civil lawsuit, and I'll tell you what, she's going to win. She's going to win. There's no way in the world that highway patrol officer should have been wailing on that woman like that. I thought it was unbelievable. I just could not believe what I was seeing with my eyes. And so, you know, just wanted to touch on those things right now. My family, love to you out there, wherever you are. The Dorsey High School family, love to you. The Gardens family, love to you. All my people, all my biological family, love to you. Just love to everybody, no matter where you are. If you're in the United States listening, love to you. If you're abroad listening, love to you, okay? Just love to everybody. And spread love, okay, you guys? Hate is such a terrible disease, and we just don't have enough medication to stop it, but it is a work in progress. We are working on stopping hate. That was Dr. Martin Luther King's mission in life, and I want to continue his mission. That was Gandhi's mission in life. So many leaders' mission was for peace. It seems like we just can't get enough peace. I heard that they're trying to get President Barack Obama to go back to war in the Middle East. And, you know, you're trying to make him go back on his words. But everybody, you must realize that it's amazing that the president, even though he's the president of the United States of America, he still can't do everything the way that he wants to. And you can see that every time he tries to sign a bill into order to do something, they fight him tooth and nail. I mean the Republicans. And I'm not against the Republicans. I'm not against anybody. I'm just saying everybody has something to do positive for America, okay? Whether you're a Republican or Democrat or whatever you are, we need to keep it positive. So all I'm saying is let's support our president. But remember, the Rockefellers, the Goodyears, the Gettys, the DuPonts, the Rothschilds, those are the ones who really run the presidency. You know, these really rich people, Bill Gates, you know how it goes. Hold on a second. I got to get a sip of my coffee here. You know, it's Monday morning. I hope you have your coffee, your orange juice, your carrot juice, your tea, whatever gets you up on this wonderful morning, August the 11th, 2014, on Faceless Success Radio on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. We're just going to take a quick pause for the cause and get a little music. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Ms. Queena Hall. And Ms. Queena Hall is, I'm going to let her tell you about what all she does to help kids get into college and stay in college and all that great stuff. So let's just take a quick pause for the cause. We'll be right back, okay? Talk Radio, Faces of Success, with the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Yes, that was me singing. That's one of my favorite songs by Marvin Gaye. What a great artist he was. Without further ado, I hope you have your coffee, your water, your juice. You know, you worked out, taking your vitamins, you're at work, you're behind your desk, wherever you are, taking care of the kids, whatever you're doing, cleaning up the yard. Here is a chance to learn about how to get your kids into college, how to get you into college, and how to get your education and get all the money and whatever you need to do to get in there to get your education so that you can be successful in society. So without further ado, let's see if we can get our special guest, Queena Hall, on the phone. Queena, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning, Queena. How are you on this wonderful August the 11th, 2014? Morning, Monday morning. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that, and I really want to welcome you to the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and I want to thank you in advance for coming on to the show. Don't worry, a whole lot of people are listening. We're not nervous, right?
Not anymore.
No, we're not. I'm just having fun. I'm just getting you know, a little warmed up. We're going to talk about college, right?
Right. We're talking about college this morning and how to get into college, to complete college, and most importantly, ways to pay for college. And this information is good for students who are listening, and it's also good for parents and just anyone in the community who knows a child who is interested in going to college to better their lives. So basically it's for anyone because we all are affected by the need for education in our society.
Well, before you get started on this really, really wonderful topic about getting into college and scholarships and all that stuff, could you tell everyone who you are and give them your credentials and what kind of work you do?
Okay, great. Well, I've gone to college myself a couple times. My first degree was a secondary education degree at University of Nevada, Las Vegas. I taught for a while in middle school and high school levels, and then I decided to go back to school for the next level. So I attended Oregon State University and attained a master's in community counseling. I've been blessed to use that education in a variety of ways to help people, mainly with students. I've been an academic advisor at a four-year public university, so I've seen the university side once they're actually in college, but I've also been the teacher and a mentor to help them get into college. Currently, I'm working for a national dropout prevention program by the name of Communities in Schools, which is a wonderful program that focus on basically just surrounding students with community support to empower them to basically stay in school, graduate, and then achieve later on, be it going on to college, trade school, or into the workforce, whatever it is that they need to succeed, and we help them on an individual basis. So that's basically what I'm bringing to the table.
Well, you know, you just brought a full meal to the table. You brought the steak, the potatoes, the vegetables, and then you also brought dessert, which is getting into the college. Let me ask you, what are the percentages and statistics on the dropout rate right now for high school students, period?
Well, currently, as I mentioned before, I work for an organization called Communities in Schools, and I'm based here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And right now, the reality is in terms of our state, we're at the bottom in terms of our graduation rate and whatnot. I think our district is, you know, somewhere hovering around the 50 to 60% in terms of graduation for high school, but that number is increasing. And what we've seen is that graduation rates increase across the board when there's more support for the community. Because the reality is that a lot of focus and a spotlight are put on teachers to achieve and for students to test well. But the reality is once a student is surrounded by support within the school and outside of the school, the graduation rates go up because barriers are removed to help them get to where they need to be.
Now, Quina, I have to chime in for a second here. You said something about teachers. I personally feel that teachers should be paid like surgeons because teachers, they have to be mom, dad, teacher, counselor, psychiatrist, psychologist. A teacher has a really big job, not just teaching, but also bonding with the students and motivating the students. It's what a task that is. I'm sorry, go right ahead.
Well, I agree with you 1,000%. Teachers have so much on them. It's not only about teaching the curriculum and staying on task. It's also, as you mentioned, all those other hats that they need to wear inside the classroom because they're dealing with our children. And each student, each child brings their own baggage to school. And the teacher will see all those things playing out in the classroom. So you have 30, 40 students in one class. You have 30, 40 different personalities, different issues, different ability levels all in one room. And it's up to the teacher to basically be the conductor of their education to kind of orchestrate something that ends up being hopefully beautiful.
And, you know, being that you just made that statement about, you know, you have all kinds of people in the classroom, I would just love if you would talk about, just for a moment, what if your child has special education needs and they too want to go to college like anybody else? How do we focus on special education youth who want to go to college as well?
Well, the first and primary thing I would do is, first, anyone who's listening who has a child or a student who has an IEP or individualized education plan, and that to make those type of accommodations, whatever the disability may be, I would empower that guardian or parent to remain active in the child's education, asking questions, to speak to the special education liaison, to make sure that they have all the accommodations that they need for success. A lot of times an IEP, an individualized education plan, can be, or a child can have an IEP and be in a regular classroom and be successful, again, with support. So it all comes back to support. But mainly I would always suggest that a parent or the guardian to advocate and meet every semester with the counselors and whatnot, just to make sure that their individual student is on track. A lot of times we send our students to school, we send our children to school, and they're with a bunch of other students. And we have staff that they try to do the best that they can to make sure that everyone's needs are met. But the reality is that, for example, if you're listening and you're a parent of one child out of high school, middle school, elementary school, then you're going to be more invested in that one child as opposed to the counselor who may have a caseload of about 400 students. So it doesn't mean that the counselor, the school counselor doesn't care. It means that they have a caseload of 430. You have a child of one. So invest into your own child.
Excuse me for interrupting. You said the counselor has a caseload of 400 students?
Well, here in the Clark County School District, our high schools are fairly large. I'm not quite sure what it looks like throughout the country. But, for example, I'm based in a school, and our population for the last school year was about 2,800. Our graduation class of seniors was about 300 to 400. So you have one counselor mainly who handles seniors, or you have, you know, two counselors, but the caseloads are large. You're not going to have one counselor who's going to have a caseload of 30 students in a school of 2,800. So, yes. Caseloads are pretty large to make sure that students stay on track. So, again, it's important for the people who love that student who are involved, be it mom, dad, aunt, uncle, grandma, to be active in that child's education, to talk to the child, talk to your student, yes, but go to the school. Don't be afraid to go to school. Go to the school and request to get an update on what's going on, even if it's something as simple as looking at your child's transcripts for high school, because we're talking about college. So a high school transcript is going to be critical, and that's like one of those things when you're thinking about how to get into college, you definitely want to be mindful of that transcript, whatever it looks like. I've seen students with less than a 2.0 get admitted to a college on conditional enrollment, so it's not a case of, I'm not an A student, so I can't go to college. If it's your desire to go to college, then you can achieve that.
Okay, well, now that brings me to this. As you know, a lot of students want to go to college. Some of them do not have the funding, the funds, to get into college. Even though President Barack Obama has put a bill into action, it was called the, I have it here, I did my research, Obama signs a bill for giving all student loans. And but it doesn't go into effect until 2016. That's when it goes into effect. Can you talk to us and all the people out there that are listening about scholarships and how to get the scholarships to get their kids in the college. And basically we want to focus on all scholarships, but in the ending we want to focus on scholarships that we don't have to pay back.
Exactly. So when I work with my students within the program that I serve, I work primarily with seniors. And the very first thing that I tell them when we talk about college and after we identify where you want to go, the next step is how much will it cost and how will you pay for it? And the very first thing that I tell them is that they need to complete the FAFSA, which is the pre-application for student aid. That's for federal aid. The very first thing that you need to do is fill out your FAFSA, and it's an acronym of FAFSA. And that's the very, very first thing that you need to do. The reason why you want to fill out that FAFSA and the reason why you want to fill it out early is because there's a pool of money. And a pool of money in terms of grants, one, that do not need to be paid back, scholarships, and loans. The earlier that a student and a parent complete a FAFSA, if you have the graduation year, say, for example, we're looking at our incoming senior class of 2015.
Quinn, let me interrupt you. I apologize for interrupting you so abruptly. Could you explain again and break it down in layman terms then the name of the now is that – do you go online to go to this particular – what do you call it again?
It's called FAFSA, and yes, you do go online. It's called the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, and the website address for that is www.fafsa.ed.gov, and it's the federal government.
Through the federal government, and they have, did you say unlimited funding?
It's not unlimited. There is a finite amount of money every year, and I don't know the total pot, but every student who basically goes to college will fill out that FAFSA. And sometimes people say, oh, if your parents' incomes are too high, there's no need to fill out FAFSA. That's false. You need to fill out the FAFSA because what's going to happen is once you apply to college or to the university, there may be campus scholarships available through, let's say, for example, you play piano and you're going to belong to the College of Fine Arts. The fine arts college within a university may have a pool of scholarship money. 9 times out of 10, they want to see your financial information, and the easiest way to do that is to get a copy of your FAFSA. So the student and the parent will fill that information out January 1st of the graduation year. So January 1st, 2015, for you seniors, you need to fill out your FAFSA. So after you celebrate Happy New Year, sit down at a computer and fill out your FAFSA and go to FAFSA.ed.gov. Fill that information out, and that information will be sent to all of the colleges that you select to send your financial information to. And so what will happen then is that the college or the university will create a financial aid award package for you, and that will be a combination of grants, scholarships, and loans.
Hold on. That is amazing information, and I can almost say that I bet everybody doesn't. If you're out there listening, I hope you have your pen and paper. I hope you're really listening out there. Hope you're writing down this information because, you know, that some people feel that a lot of people don't want to go to college. I beg to differ. I think there's a lot of young people out there that want to go to college. They just need the opportunity to get information like this, so that it can help them get to where they want to go, and they can actually get a ride on their education. Quina, can you elaborate on that a little bit more, please?
Yeah, so just to piggyback off what you said, what you need to remember for all of you who are listening is that, for example, when you fill out your FAFSA, that can be applied to certain trade schools who are accredited. So, for example, some students want to go to cosmetology school, hair college, barber school, trucking school. So if those particular schools are accredited, recognized by the federal government, and that's a long conversation, but you can get you can look up and see if the school is eligible for federal aid. So it's not necessarily going to a four-year university private school that costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a semester. It's about any school, any type of post-secondary education that you want to obtain. So for those of you who are listening and wondering, yes, I'd like to go to college, what it really comes down to at the beginning is, personally, you need to discover your personal why. Why do you want this? What is the hunger, the drive, the purpose that's going to fuel this journey for you? And it can't be, I'm going to college because my mom said so, or because my grandmother passed away and that's what she wanted you to do. Those are all great motivations, but when you're up at 1 o'clock in the morning writing a paper, you need internal motivation to keep going. So is college for everyone? Maybe not. But if it's something that you're curious about, it absolutely will not hurt you to ask to try. And there are so many resources out here, starting with FAFSA to get the financial aspect to help you along on that journey. And then so once you fill out your FAFSA, submit that information, you still want to look for more financial aid. And one way to do that is to create a profile on a website called fastweb.com, FASTWEB.com, and it's a free website. What you'll do on that website is you'll create
now,
a profile.
No, wait a minute. I want to chime in again. I want to chime in again. Say that information again, nice and slow. Tell everybody out there, because this is really important, because this is what people don't know how to do. They don't know where to go online to get the grants and the scholarships to go to college. So, Quina, thank you. You're doing a great job. Could you share that one more time, please?
Okay, so the website is fastweb.com, and that's FASTWEB.com. And the purpose of this website, it is free. That's the most important thing. When you're looking for scholarships, you should never, ever pay a company to look for scholarships. There's absolutely no reason for you to pay to search for scholarships on the website.
Did you guys hear what Ms. Quina Hall said? She said you should never pay. Okay, could you say that again? Tell them why they don't have to pay. I don't think they understand.
You don't,
let them know why.
You don't have to pay because, for example, if you go to the website, fastweb.com, you create your own profile. They'll ask you a series of questions of different organizations that you belong to, volunteering activities, organizations that your parents may have belonged to or worked for, because then you would be eligible for basically like alumni or legacy funding. And what FastWeb will do is put in your email address, so it's very important that you create your own email address, email account, and you can do that for free online. Once you create that, they will start sending you every week different scholarships that you can apply for, different contests and competitions. All of it is free. And it will come down to you maybe. Go ahead.
Now, Quina, what I want to do is I have a few callers that have called in. They've been holding on. I'm quite sure they must have some questions or something. Can you just hold on for a moment and don't go anywhere because we want to continue talking. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio. Quina, you're doing fantabulous here with this wonderful information. Hold one moment, please, okay?
Okay.
Yes, hello. Welcome to the radio show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Hello, may I ask who's calling? Hello? Hello, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Go ahead. Okay, we'll come back to this call. We'll come back. Yes, hello. This is the Eddie Jones Talk Show. Are you there? Caller, are you there? Okay. Hello, caller, are you there? Okay, Quina, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, something's going on there. I don't know. They're on hold, but we're not getting any volume, no sound. But let's take back to what we were doing, and let's continue to talk more about scholarships and the sponsorships and the grants. So back on your topic.
So with the FastWeb, once you create your profile of interests, majors, the different careers that you're interested in going into, you will receive weekly emails to your inbox, and you can select the different scholarships that you would like to apply for. And it's highly effective. FastWeb has been around for a while now. I mean, I personally use FastWeb when I was looking for scholarships. And again, the thing with that is basically persistence equals money. So the more time that you as a student and that your parents or family members invest in completing scholarship applications, the better off you'll be. And something that you want to keep in mind is that I'll just tell you right now, every scholarship that you apply for, you will not get. So your personal goal should be to apply for triple the amount of, for example, if you're looking for $10,000, make sure that you're applying for scholarships for well over $10,000 in total amount. So, for example, FastWeb will have scholarships that range from anywhere from, you know, maybe like $250, $500, all the way up to large-scale scholarships of, you know, over $10,000 or $20,000. You may look at a scholarship that's $500 and say, oh, it's only $500, but I need $20,000 for my school year. Well, all of those things add up, and the special thing about scholarships is that it'll either be paid to you or to the school and go into your own personal account. And those are things that you can use to buy books. So $500 may not seem like a lot in terms of your total college tuition and requirements, but that can pay for your books for a semester. And that's the mindset that you want to have, is that you're just storing up a lot of money. So I would thoroughly suggest that anyone, and even you can do this in your junior year, start your FastWeb profile and start applying to scholarships. And basically, like, you can't get scholarships if you don't apply. Take the time to get money. It's so easy for people to sign a piece of paper or multiple pieces of paper and take out a loan for $20,000 as opposed to sitting down and taking the time to research scholarships. That's money that you do not have to pay back for $20,000. So basically it's about persistence and time. So be patient with the process. It's a journey, and you're not always going to get a yes, but you have to keep knocking on those doors. So definitely after you complete your FAFSA, I would suggest the next step would be the fastweb.com.
Well, now we're going to come right back. We're going to take a short pause for the cause, a little break. We're going to give them a break with a little music. Everybody out there, I know you're listening to this very wonderful, pertinent information about getting into college, getting the sponsorships, getting the scholarships, getting the grants. When we come back, can we talk about at-risk youth, which is actually your profession, your profession, right? You help at-risk youth get into college and stuff like that. So when we come back, can we talk about that for a little bit?
Absolutely.
Okay, everybody out there, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, Faces of Success Radio, sending out love. Here's a song by Mr. Michael Jackson. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. You're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. And we are talking about getting into college. And I play Looking Through the Window because, you know, we always look through the window of life, and we want to look out that window in life, and we want to see the things that we want to see. And if you're looking out the window right now to go to college, this is a good look, okay? Queena, are you there?
I am here.
Again, we want to thank our special guest, Ms. Queena Hall, master's degree, been through college. You also been to Africa too, right?
I have. I've actually gone to Africa. I was in Accra, Ghana for a summer through a study abroad program.
Could you tell us about the work that you did in Africa while you were there? Because that's something that's amazing. That's part of why you can talk about college and stuff like that. What did you do there?
Well, actually, I took advantage of a program that was at my university, and it's at most university, and it's called the USAC program. It's a study abroad program where students here in the United States can go to college for either a summer, a semester, or for a full year in another country. You are a student, and you're taking classes that are applicable to your degree, but it's occurring in another country. And so one of the things that I got to experience at that time was the social aspect of being in another country. We focus on social work and outreach within Ghana, and just looking at the different programs, the education system, and looking at the disparities of people who do not have access, the type of access to education that we have that are actually hungry for it. So that just motivated me more to be more diligent to inform our American students about the opportunities that they have here to succeed here at home and the opportunities to go abroad.
Now, let me ask you, because we're going to be talking about at-risk youth who still want to get into college, even though they had a few hard times, a little storm, they learn how to weather the storm, but they still don't know how to get there. You mean they can actually do foreign exchange? They can go to college in Africa or somewhere abroad?
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful program. There's a national component to that where it's called a national student exchange where, let's say, for example, and this often happens, let's say, for example, you have a student here in my town in Las Vegas who enrolls in UNLV, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, because they need to pay a lower tuition and they need to stay home for whatever reason. Through programs like USAC, University Study Abroad Consortium, they're able to go and experience another culture, oftentimes not pay a difference in tuition. They would pay the same tuition that they would pay at their home school, but they get this wonderful international experience that is absolutely life-changing. So you still get the comfort of being at home surrounded by your family, but you also get to spread your wings a little bit and get outside of your neighborhood to see something else and to experience different cultures.
You know, it's amazing, Queena, that you say that, because sometimes just getting out of your environment makes all the difference in the world. You know, just
absolutely.
Because when you don't see things, you don't know things, you know. And there's an old saying, if you don't have any luggage, you don't plan on going anywhere. You know what I mean? So so listen out there, young people, and everybody else, you know. You can pack your bags and go to school abroad and do a student exchange. That is so amazing. Now, while we're back on this really hot topic of at-risk youth who still want to go to college, can you go ahead on and give us some information on that, Queena?
Exactly. So as I mentioned before, the organization that I work for is a dropout prevention program, communities and schools. And basically, like, one of the things that
By the way, I let's say this again. You are in Las Vegas, Nevada, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and I forgot to ask you, but right in the middle of this, how's the weather out there?
It's hot.
You know, I always hear how hot Vegas is. I heard it's hot on the Strip, and I heard it's hot in Vegas, period. Is that true?
It is hot. And let me tell you, having gone to Africa for the summer, it's actually hotter in Vegas than it was in Africa. So,
wow. So, wow. Okay, now in Vegas you have UNLV, right?
Yes, we have University of Nevada, Las Vegas is our main university. We also have Nevada State College, and then we have
Nevada?
Our two-year uh-huh. college, which is...
And what is your two-year... I'm sorry, what's the name of it?
Our two-year college, our junior college, is the Southern Nevada Community College, or Southern Community College, CSN.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So,
Community College of Southern Nevada.
I have a lot of friends and associates out there in Vegas, so... To everybody that's listening from Vegas, hey, what's up, y'all? Nevada, what's going on? Okay, so let's get back to at-risk youth. I just had to throw that in there. Let's get back on the at-risk. Yeah.
So with the term at-risk youth, I kind of like bristle at that. I tell my kids, and we always tell our students that you're at risk for phenomenal success. Like. Just because of your environment, your life circumstances, that can actually be your stepping stone. And a lot of people, and that's not to minimize what people have gone through. I've worked with students who are homeless, who are, you know, they haven't graduated from high school, but they already have two children. They have families that aren't able to support them for a variety of social reasons. It may be because they're fighting their own demons via drugs or just economic instability. But they have a lot of barriers, and they have a lot of what we like to say is they have a lot in their backpack. And so with a student that's labeled at risk, they come with a lot of baggage, but they still have to walk the walk. So they still have the journey. They still have the opportunity to go on that journey, be it to college on any level, but they just need a little bit more support. And so that's one of the main things that we do. And like we operate on what's called the five basics. And so one of those things is basically we believe that if you surround a child with a one-on-one relationship with a caring adult, then they have that positive role model and their potential for success goes up extremely high. So basically a one-on-one relationship with a caring adult, and that's basically one of the things that I do every day is working with my students to identify their needs and to help them get over it.
Well, you know, Aquina, it's amazing because, you know, I've been working with kids, you know, for the last 20 years, helping kids in different areas in life and especially in the community. And you know, since I'm a civil servant, and I have been for a long time, the reward of this is when you're at the gas station. Like, this is a true story. I'm at the gas station pumping gas. Guy comes up and jumps out of his car and goes, "Hey, aren't you Coach Jones?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, I'm the student who was smoking cigarettes, and you knocked it out of my hand and told me never to smoke again." And I go, "Oh, my God. Wow, what a, you know." And then he goes, "And now I'm a pastor of my own church." And
oh,
it's
wow.
just amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's good to see, you know, go right ahead. I just had to say that.
It really does. It feels good because the outcome is just so phenomenal. Like, any student can succeed, even if they have a two-parent family home and they have all the support they need. When they succeed, it's wonderful. They're a part of our society. When you have a student who has so many barriers, so many odds, the odds are literally stacked against them not to succeed, and then they do succeed, that's phenomenal. For me, as I said earlier, I work mainly with seniors at the high school level. So for me, it's sitting at that graduation and literally watching them walk across the stage and then turn that tassel, and then on the other side of summer to get a text message from them saying, "Miss Quina, I'm at the airport. I'm on my way to University of Virginia, or I'm going to HBCU down south, or I'm going to California for college. Thank you so much," or sending me pictures of their dorm rooms that they set up when, you know, just a year prior or when they were a junior. They're in my office basically saying, "I can't go to college," or "I can't afford to go to college," and we find a way to make it happen. Like, we literally do whatever it takes to make sure that, one, the student follows through on their goal of going to college, but we also walk them through. And that's an important thing that not only that I do professionally, But parents can do as well. Like, I had support to go through college by people who hadn't even graduated from high school. And I think that's an important point for people to remember.
That you yourself do not have to go to college
to support someone's dream in going to college. The person who
I want to chime in for a second. Now, you know, students who, you know, the at-risk or just regular students who want to go to college, a lot of students want to stay in the dorms. They want to get the meals. You know, there are grants for that. Could you talk a little bit about kids who want to go abroad, or not abroad, but, you know, to Yale or USC or UCLA? They just want to leave home and go to college and stay in the dorms and get the meals. And how do they do that?
Well, actually, it's a similar process. So what you want to be mindful of is that you have a college application to actually get into the university to take classes, but then you also have a housing application, which is a separate application process that you would have to go through. And typically, if you're a student in one state and you're a freshman, meaning you're a traditional freshman, you graduated from high school in June, for example, and then you're going to school in the fall, going to college for the fall for the first time, you will be considered a traditional freshman. And most of the time, if you are going to school out of state, you are required to live on campus, which should make parents breathe a little easier because they know where their child will be sleeping, et cetera. They're literally housed on campus. So those are two separate application processes. But what I was talking about earlier in terms of your FAFSA web and your financial aid, that money can go towards your tuition for your classes, and it can also go toward your housing fees to stay on campus. And I think it's a great experience. I lived on campus for 1 year, and it was a great experience. So while we're still talking about money, there is another website or another tool for more scholarships, and it's called the Public Education Foundation. And it may
Did you say the Public the Public Education Foundation?
Yes. So it's called, and here in the state of Nevada, it's called the Public Education Foundation. If you were to type that in to Google or whatever server you use and put the name of your state or your city, something similar should pop up. Here in the state of Nevada, the Public Education Foundation, over the past couple of years, has given out over 3,000 scholarships totaling $6.9 million. For our Clark County School District. And that's just our school district here, our high school students. So that's what I'm talking about.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
So just imagine that each state will have their own foundation or scholarship pool, so that with the FAFSA that I was talking about earlier, that's a national scholarship. Well, this is shrinking it down locally so that you can find scholarships within your area. And these are different businesses that contribute to the fund to support their community.
Okay, hold on just a second here, Quina. Don't go anywhere. You are on Faces of Success Radio, the Eddie Jones Talk Show. We're talking about college, how to get the sponsorships, how to get the scholarships, how to get the grants, how to get in the dorms, how to go abroad to college on the exchange program. We're just really chopping it up right now, and we're turning it up on education. You know how they say, I'm getting turned up? Well, let's get turned up on education, okay, because that is the key to success. We have 8 minutes left in this particular show, and then we're going to be moving to another show. And with our other show that's coming up, just to give you a little bit, we're going to be talking about Afro Style Magazine. We're going to talk to Miss Amaka and Mr. Jason, and they are chief executive officer, and he is the creative director. So we'll be talking to them in a little while. But meanwhile, in your closing 8 minutes, Quina, I want you to really lay it heavy on what else they can do to get themselves into college, and any motivational words for the people out there that are listening who want to make sure their kids, how do you talk to your kids and say, hey, you know, because, you know, kids are hard to convince to go to college because they feel like they can't do it, you know. And how do you, how do we motivate those kids that want to go but they don't have the tenacity or the motivation to just do it on their own? How do you do that?
Well, on a personal level, I'm real with my students, and by real, I mean I tell them my story, and that in itself sometimes is all that it takes, and also letting them know that you will be there with them throughout the process. And what I always encourage my students to do is to ask questions. They say that I'm nosy because I'm constantly asking them questions, and I'm saying to them, I'm just your role model. Like, if I'm asking you questions, you should be asking me questions and other people questions. So, one, for students, build relationships. Ask questions. Tell people that you want to go to college. Make that a part of your conversation with your friends, at church, in the community, at your job, your teachers. Because teachers don't assume that everyone in their classroom wants to go to college. So tell people, talk to your school counselors, and don't always take no for an answer, and do not allow one person's personality to stop you from your dream. And that's the most important thing. Do not allow someone who may be having a bad day, maybe they didn't have their coffee on Monday morning, to stop you from asking questions. And that's the most important thing. Ask questions, you will get answers. And most importantly, if it's your dream and you are pursuing it, other people will see that, and God will motivate other people to help you help yourself.
Wow, that's a lot of great information. We're counting down. We're down to like 6 minutes left into the show. And so, again, real quick, if you could tell people how to get into the dorms and that application for getting into dorms, and how do they do that?
So the first thing you want to do is identify your school. If you want to go to Cal State University San Bernardino or UNLV, what you want to do is go to that website and click on admissions and apply. You can, if paying for the application is a barrier, for example, when you apply to a college, most of the time there's an application fee. Call the school and ask if they will give you an application waiver, meaning you don't need to pay the application. Typically, a fee here in Las Vegas can range from $60, and I've seen some applications out of state be over $100. So ask questions. Ask if you can have that waived, if that's a barrier for you. When it's time for you to apply to get into the dorm, fill out the application, and there's always phone numbers on the website. Call and ask for someone to walk you through step by step on how to complete the application. And it's very simple. Completing your application for housing is very simple. It's basically you're saying things like if you're a morning person or a night person, so that they can match you up with a roommate so that you don't kill each other, basically. Not literally, but we want it to be a good experience for you. So apply, now, go to the website,
now, Queen,
apply.
If I may ask you, what if people want to reach out to you? Do you have an email address that you could share with people who want to ask you questions? And then my question to you is, do you think you might start up some sort of personal service just for helping people outside of your job, you know, your own little CEO business, on helping people with getting into college information? Do you see that somewhere in the cards?
I don't know. This conversation is kind of making me think about it. But, yes, if anyone has any questions, they absolutely can reach out to me. I'm more than happy to help anyone to get through this process because it's wonderful. My email address is my full name, so it's SHAQUEENA. At CIS Nevada, spelled out, NEVADA.org. And
okay.
Feel free to put it on the website.
Okay, now they can email you and ask you questions because, you know, unfortunately we can't answer all the questions in this 1 hour, but I would love to, you know, do an update maybe later on and, you know, as we get closer to, you know, months of getting into school and everything and talk about it again. What do you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. Whenever you like to talk about it more, I have plenty of information to give.
I know a lot of parents are happy this week and next week all the kids are going back to school, right?
The parents are happy, and I'm happy too because I haven't seen my students all summer, so I'm looking forward to seeing them.
That's a beautiful thing. You know, kids are so impressionable, and you know, I tell the kids when I speak to them at the schools, the only limit in life is the one that you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. And then I
Absolutely.
Tell them, you know, and I also tell them, whatever you do, don't let anybody steal your joy, you know.
Absolutely.
If you want to do it, like Nike said, just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there will be help for you. You will not have to do it alone.
I must share with you that you have given us some very wonderful information. You have been impeccable in the education of getting into college, scholarships, sponsorships, and grants. Any closing remarks on grants? Because those grants are, wow. Is there any other website or any other way that they can get grants? Anything else?
In order to get local grants, I would thoroughly suggest that you look at your school, the school district website. There should be a section for counselor or guidance, and that's where you would find local grants. When you're looking for grants and scholarships, the smaller the pool, the better. So if you have something within your own city or your own school district, look toward that. For example, here in Las Vegas, if you look on the Clark County School District site, we have our local scholarships and grants. I know in the state of California, the great state of California, they have their Cal grants. The earlier that you apply, the better. So the most important thing is when you're looking for scholarships and grants, that money goes fast. So you want to make sure that you are submitting your information well before the deadline. Don't wait until the deadline to barely make it. As soon as you find out about it, submit all the required information and pursue it and follow up on it.
Okay. Well, it seems like we're counting down to our next show. So, Quina, I want to thank you so very much for all the education, and thank you for being our special guest. And, you know, and I am so happy that you came on. Do you have any closing remarks before you go?
No, just basically do whatever it takes. And if you are considered at risk, if you youth are listening, remember you're at risk for phenomenal success. So don't let anything hold you back.
Well, I can see that nothing has held you back from getting to where you want to be now. And also, too, isn't it great to give back?
Absolutely. It feels phenomenal. Like, I can't wait for my students to get back, and we have another year to go and another graduation class coming up.
Well, I'm gonna close out with a song, and I'm dedicating this song, you know, for you and everyone out there that's listening. This song is called Brother by Angie Stone. And, Quina, thank you for coming on. Much love to you. Love you. God bless you. And, you know, keep up the fantabulous work.
Thank you very much, and you do the same.
All right, I'll talk to you real soon, Quina.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. All right, everybody out there, you're on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. We will be back real soon. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, okay? Listen up and enjoy. We'll be right back with Afro Style Magazine.
He is my king, he's my one. Yes, he's my father, yes. He's my son, I can talk to, cause he understands everything I go through and everything I am. He's my support system, I can't live without him. The best thing since sliced bread is his kiss, his hug, his lips, his touch. And I just want the whole world to know about my bad brother. I love you and I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever true, cause you're my bad brother, strong brother, and there is no one above you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever true. He's misunderstood, yeah. Some say that he's up to no good around the neighborhood. Information. A lot of my brothers got education. Now check it, you got. got your Wall Street brother, blue collar brother, you're down for whatever, chilling on the corner brother, talented brother, and to every one of y'all behind bars, you know that Angie loves you, but my black brother,
you are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show, the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio. Hi, everybody out there. If you're just tuning in, we have been talking about college and college education, how to get into college, how to get a scholarship, how to get grants, how to stay in the dorms, how to get the money. That's very important. How to get the money to go to college without paying out all that stuff and paying all that money back. I hope you really enjoyed that segment of our show. We're going into our second segment in our show, which is Afro Style Magazine. And our special guest is going to be coming on shortly, which will be Miss Amaka Onyoha and Jason Maddox. She is the chief executive officer, and he is a creative director. And we'll, you know, we're just waiting on them to call in right now. And once they get in, we'll be on live talking about Afro Style Magazine. And I'm just looking at some of the pictures from the different magazines that they've already put out, and the work is amazing, just amazing. So we're going to talk about that. But while we're waiting for our guest to come on, I think we're going to go to another song just so we can, you know, give them a little time to get through. And so I want you to listen to the song here, and this song right here is another, because I don't know if you know, but Michael Jackson's birthday will be coming up this month. So, you know, I just want a little something from Michael Jackson, and God bless the Jackson family.
Attention class, today you will have a substitute teacher, Miss Sylvia Newton.
Learning to read music can be very helpful to you in your life. particularly if your field is going to be opera, like Enrico Caruso, or if you wish to become a popular rock and roll star, like Frankie Lane.
I don't know. I think he's one of those old singers like David Cassidy.
And learning to read music is simple, very simple. Just think of the notes as people. And you think of the lines of the staff as their home. You really do. Now, this is Mr. A. He is short. This is Mrs. B. She is flat. And move into a home, can you tell me what happens?
Yeah, they give birth to the blues.
No, they don't! They give birth to baby C. Yes, now to review. This is a sharp, this is a flat, and this is a natural.
That ain't no natural. This is a natural.
All right, class. Now that we have the basic elements, perhaps we could try a song. I know it will be difficult for most of you newcomers to get into the beat of it, but let everybody try and do the best you can. Are you ready?
Yeah.
A, B, C.
Okay, we're back. That would have eventually led into the ABC Michael Jackson song, but it was going on for a little while there, so that we'll go back to that later and we'll hear it again. But anyway, that little skit right there leads into the Jackson's 5 singing ABC. I hope you enjoyed that. It was just a little something there to pass the time away. Our special guest, Omaka, from Afro Style Magazine, is on the line, so let's see if we can get her. Let's see if we can get her on right now. Hello, Omaka, are you there?
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Hello, Omaka, how are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I want to welcome you and Jason to the show.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jones. We enjoyed your segment about getting into college and moving on with young people's lives. It's very exciting to be here.
Yeah, maybe. I'm so happy that you're here, Jason and Amaka. Thank you so much. I know that there's so many things to do, but just to take out time to talk about your magazine and what your magazine is about is very wonderful, pertinent information. So please go right ahead and share your views. Tell us about the history of the magazine, when it started, how it got started, and go right ahead.
Okay. Pretty much, I started the magazine about 6 or 7 years ago. I wanted to start a magazine that not only pertains to me as an African, as a Nigerian, but also to me as a multicultural African. And what I mean by that is not only appreciating my culture, my history within my country, but also looking to other cultures within and outside of Africa that actually have either the differences or the similarities in terms of looks, in terms of clothes, in terms of tradition, and appreciating and embracing them for what they are in the way that I understand it. And so I wanted, of course, being a fashion person myself and having worked in that industry, I definitely was looking to have it as a platform. And so I just kind of went in and sort of connected with people who got to see what I was trying to do. And it was a few years, about a year or two after I had started, I got introduced to Jason, who immediately caught on to what I was trying to do and helped evolve it to what it is now. And then it's through him we got to meet our third partner, Kanye, who is in South Africa right now, who also brought in her own style and her own ideas to the magazine. And so three of us together have been able to create a magazine that not only pertains to us as Africans, but us as blacks in the United States, but also also finding ways to connect the dots with other cultures outside of what we all know, and also appreciating and discussing issues that pertain to us as not just Africans or African Americans, but as human beings. So that's pretty much like a nutshell about AfroStyle.
Well, you know, now I did my research on AfroStyle, and you guys are really coming up real quick, and I really admire the magazine covers. And I really admire the art and the cultural things that are in there to learn about. I noticed on some of your covers, because your magazine doesn't just focus on African American, it doesn't matter what color you are, it doesn't matter what race, creed, religion, or where you're from, the magazine is for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Right. We did want to explore the idea of African-ness and kind of Africana divorced from the people who have traditionally taken it for themselves. We wanted to look at the culture and see how it fits into the global sphere and explore it from our perspective, but, you know, as imposed throughout, you know, Asia, South America, Europe, almost as an inverse of what we traditionally see of Africans taking upon themselves European clothing and European practices. So it's been a venue for kind of turning the prism outward on the world and hoping to expand consciousness in that way.
And so could you talk a little bit about, Jason, if you could, as a creative director, tell us exactly what you do at AfroStyle Magazine.
The process basically comes through with a first meeting about what cultures we want to feature, we discuss what's going on in the world, what parts of Africa are really getting a lot of press or attention, and we figure out, you know, how we'd like to reinvestigate the stories behind what we've heard and develop graphics and graphical elements that support that. So, for example, a couple years ago when we heard a lot of press about struggle in Darfur, we really wanted to know you know, what this was about. It was very trendy to talk about a refugee crisis, but, you know, ultimately we looked at, you know, Chinese-American oil dealings and decided that it was time to look at this from the perspective of a person on the ground that would have the understanding that we had as outsiders. You know, they typically deal with their day-to-day lives and don't necessarily have the time to express in a kind of abstract fashion what it is that their struggle would mean for the rest of the world, but we wanted to kind of take that upon ourselves. So we sit around, what do I do? I try to figure out how to do that. So, for example, with that shoot, we took a South Sudanese model and we completely painted the space white, and we laid her down in the space and explored the contrast between kind of her skin and the, you know, like the open white space, and used black oil to kind of blend the two, the black into the gray, into the white. The oil that she was struggling with was kind of symbolic of the oil that was the richness and the kind of crux of, you know, the foreign interaction in her kind of environment. So we look at what's going on in the political sphere, and we try to transpose that into the artistic sphere. So making decisions along those lines is kind of what I'm interested in.
Well, Jason, that is just extremely amazing. Everybody out there, you're on Faces of Success Radio. This is the Eddie Jones Talk Show, and our very, very special, wonderful guest today is Amaka and Jason, who are all owners of Afro Sound magazine. Is that right? Did I get that right, you guys?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, okay now.
Well, we like to think that it has no owners. It is a nonprofit organization that we are, you know, kind of putting out to pretty much everyone to contribute to. So.
Okay, okay. So since you're a nonprofit organization, if people want to reach out to your magazine, you know, via email or via the website, could you please give out your information?
Sure. It would be info@afrostylemag.com. So that's AFROSTYLE mag.com.
Okay. And if people want to look at your magazines and see them online, how they can do that at that address that you just gave out?
Yeah, it would be AfroStyleMag.com or AfroStyleMagazine.com. Yes.
And if you just put AfroStyle into Google, it'll
pop up with it.
Okay, now I'm sitting here looking at a lot of different covers of your magazines. Could you tell me about some of your issues of your magazines? I see one here where there's a lady on the front, female Caucasian, wrapped in a very nice jacket. Is that the one you were just talking about, Jason?
No, actually, that's a traditional Ethiopian menswear. And this was really a bold statement for us, because we had a lot of internal debate about what to do and which cover to use on this particular issue. We'd met an Ethiopian designer who was based in Los Angeles and doing big things with her and her brother. And she had she's just a young woman about our age who had a connection with an entire factory in Ethiopia and was employing, you know, tens of people to make clothes that were in Urban Outfitters. And we thought, well, let's really investigate her culture and try to tell her story. And there's some content about that later on in the magazine. But, you know, really looking at the traditions of Ethiopia and the kind of the strength and the pride and the kind of self and the centeredness of that culture was something that really inspired us. So we wanted to do a piece on their traditional clothing. And initially we did schedule a male and, you know, a black, dark Ethiopian. And as time went on, we thought, hey, you know what? This stuff is so beautiful and it's so, you know, kind of iconic that we think it could go with anyone. And so when we tried to put the most different person we could possibly find in that place and see if the clothing still translated, see if it's still red, and see if it still felt the same to us, and it did. And so we wanted to share that kind of with the world.
The whole idea of...
I apologize. Go right ahead, Amaka.
Yeah, the whole idea, I think, with this one, and the reason why it was a debate was also because as an African magazine, it's kind of expected, so to speak, that you would have a particular look when it comes to, you know, traditional clothing. And like I said, one thing about us is we're all about appreciating people outside of ourselves, you know, as long as it's for the good of mankind, so to speak, not to sound, you know, overdramatic. But the whole idea of the look, when we consulted with our friend, Afomia, we actually got permission from her to see if she was okay with it. And her and her brother were pretty cool with the idea and loved the idea because their traditional clothing is pretty simple. They tend to just wear a lot of white. And one thing that we decided to go in that direction too was because that particular look is not just worn by, you know, Ethiopians or Africans. They're worn by different groups, maybe in different way, maybe more colorful than the other, but they're also worn by people that are of non-African backgrounds as well. And so that's why we thought, you know what, let us find a model that is outside of the expectation, and which would be such a huge contrast to what people are used to or would be expecting to see. And hence the idea of the title of this issue, Struggle and Identity, is what we also wanted to bring to the forefront. And we felt like that definitely made a lot of sense, because when you look at her, the first thing that people will look at will be her skin color. She's white. Why is she wearing that? But our question to you would be, what makes you think that she can't wear that? What makes you think that maybe from her cultural background does not require her to wear that? So those kind of subconscious thinking is also what we try to bring to the forefront.
Amaka, what I'm hearing here from you and Jason is that you guys don't let the stereotypes and all that kind of stuff affect you all. You all are open to everything out there, and you're sharing great information in your magazine to help educate people on understanding that, you know, we all are actually one, and there's something wonderful and great about all of us, no matter where we're from. And then it sounds like you're saying that there's a lot of art out there, there's a lot of clothing out there, there's a lot of things that people need to learn about instead of just being kind of stuck on just that one thing to learn about, right?
Absolutely. And the idea is that is to allow people to have kind of psychological permission to take control of their own identity, to do what they really feel is appropriate for themselves. And like you say, defeating stereotypes is one of our priorities because, you know, stereotypes only exist as long as the person being talked about isn't speaking for themselves. So that's been our mission for a while.
Now, Jason, I got to ask you, I noticed that there's an article about Maya Angelou, which is one of my favorite poets, God bless her soul. Could you tell me a little bit about the story that you guys did on her? Just let the people hear about the story that you did on Maya Angelou.
Well, Maya Angelou was an amazing, amazing interview, and that story goes back a while. When I first met Amaka, one of her absolute focuses was sitting down with Maya Angelou. And, you know, I am a little more cynical. I've worked in Hollywood for a while, so I thought, well, no, this is probably not going to happen, but, yeah, that'd be amazing. So we'd talk about it and prepare questions and whatnot, and time went on, and, of course, the people said, no, Dr. Maya Angelou, you know, is very interested in your work. Keep it up, but she's not available. She's, you know, with former President Bill Clinton. She's with current President Barack Obama. It's kind of a wonderful thing, but, you know, a few weeks really before we heard about her passing, we got a call simply saying, yes, she would be, you know, willing and interested in interviewing you. And like most things that Amaka set her mind to do, we realized that this was going to happen. And when we finally sat down with her, she was, you know, every bit as much of everything that everyone expects. We asked her about her history in Africa and her learning process and what it had been like for her to experience so much tragedy early on in life and what really her sense was of, you know, our future and our destiny and what work was left to be done, you know, after her generation, you know, her and the great civil rights leaders of the 1960s and 70s, now that they are, you know, sadly passing away, you know, we asked her for something of her perspective of what she would like to see in the future if she were to be able to live, you know, 1,000 lives. And she was very gracious with us, firm as usual, but very enthusiastic about the idea of pushing forward these boundaries and letting loose the traditional identities of you know, the embattled kind of struggling African that we've had to have with us for generations. But she gave us a lot of light, and you can look at that's actually a cover article we have on the magazine. So if you go to AfroStyleMag.com, you can hear exactly this in her words.
Now, that's amazing, Jason. Now, Amaka, I'd just like to ask you, what are the goals for the future for AfroStyle Magazine, Amaka? What are the plans?
As much as I've heard that, it's kind of always hard to put it in words, and Jason can help me because I know he has a vision for the magazine as well. But I think for me, it's really being, I don't want it to sound cliche because I don't, but I would want it to be, in terms of a fashion magazine, to be the African Vogue, so to speak, but not necessarily having, you know, different arenas or different sections of AfroStyle like they do with Vogue, because we already cover that as one magazine. So us really being able to expand to beyond where we are, to other countries and cultures, and I think we're actually doing that, and that people are actually embracing us right now as they see how diverse the magazine is. And so just really adding on in terms of more creativity, more access to content, to things that we are still working on, would be something really ideal in terms of being able to get to stories.
Exactly.
Get to stories as quickly as possible. Being able to get people from all over the country and all over the world, so to speak, to reach out and share their stories that we know that we as a magazine would be interested in exploring. And we love, and it's, I think that's the vision for us, and Jason can chime in as to anything else that he would like to see as well.
Right, a lot of this growth has been truly organic. We simply looked around and been infuriated at one news story or another and said, we can't take it anymore, we have to talk about this. So the vision has come in response to a lot of things that have been going on in the world. Being able to do that on a higher level is something that we pursue. Being able to actually hear about, for example, the situation with Boko Haram, and being able to go straight to Nigeria with no delay and speak directly to people on the ground. That's what we want to do. We want to build connections with people in every nation of Africa.
Now, Jason, let me try. I apologize, Jason, for interrupting you, but now you guys go all over. You go to Africa and do photo shoots and stories. Talk about all the different places that you travel to do your stories. That's very interesting.
That is the thing. We're just now beginning to explore. But if you look through the magazine, the kind of, you know, Hollywood-like secret of it is a lot of this is rigorously based on other cultures because, you know, the people – we've had access to our friends, you know, coming from Howard University, our friends in Los Angeles, you know, have, you know, many people we meet have come from, you know, Guinea and South Africa and in Kenya and Ethiopia and Congo, Sudan, within months. But most of that is actually shot here. So we're dealing with, you know, reports and phone calls and talks with people back home. And we're reinterpreting that here in Los Angeles. So there actually hasn't been much travel. We've had some material submitted, but there's always something of a delay in that when something shot 6 months ago and it's, you know, kind of oriented to fit what's going on now. So we have
I apologize, Jason, but I just wanted to now. I've been watching the news lately, Amaka and Jason, and, you know, there's some stuff going on with this Ebola virus. And do you guys think that would be some kind of story to talk about in your magazine? Just curious, if you would, just share a little information, or do you think it's something to talk about?
for me, Ebola is almost a classic, kind of what I remember from the 1980s, everything strange and horrible comes from Africa story. So, you know, it is an interesting challenge. I would be interested in talking about it, exploring what it really is from a purely kind of scientific perspective. But, you know, something like Ebola to me is not nearly as exciting as the potential that comes from something like President Obama's Power Africa initiative. And,
right.
You know, there's so many investors on the ground in Nigeria, for example, who are rearing to go, who are excited to change laws to make things more reflective of an investment-based economy. And talking to people like that who you may be concerned about Ebola and certainly keeping the people in their nation healthy and exploring in that context, but from the focus of people who are really aimed at building a, you know, building the enormous potential of Africa, you know, rather than running from the incidental problems that you know, may come from things like, you know, diseases.
Well, you know, Jason, it's amazing that you know, I just want to say this, you know, when I said about the Ebola, just getting your opinion, but there are so many wonderful things that have come out of Africa, and if you don't believe me, and you already know, so many people have went to Africa to get so many things and bring it back to America because there's a lot of great things that come out of the motherland. So
exactly.
Many great things. You know, I mean, so many nutrients and minerals and gold and silver and copper and, you know, Nelson Mandela and, you know, we could just keep going on and on and on. The great oceans, the great beautiful mountains and the great different places of Africa. I mean, you know, it's just so many beautiful things that come out of Africa.
And one of the most beautiful things about Africa at this point in my mind is that there's a lot of development potential that has not been exploited. Now, that's a very dangerous statement because when you say that and you look at the rest of the world, you see, you know, ecological devastation and social kind of injustice and whatnot. But there is the potential, I believe, and Amaka believes, we've had this discussion, for, you know, a new kind of exploration of, you know, the kind of wild east, as it were. Like, there was a time when people were, you know, moving to America to look for gold and to dig up oil and to exploit its natural resources. And there's a terrible history of, you know, Indian dispossession and you know, torment of you know, not peoples who wanted nothing more than pastoral existences. And I feel like we have a potential to kind of do it right with Africa, you know, with everything that's, you know, gone into it, the colonialism, the slavery, that being in the past, there's still a lot of kind of underutilized environments, resources, intellectual resources. And with all the lessons of the past, the lessons of Nelson Mandela, the lessons of Mahatma Gandhi, and the lessons of many peaceful leaders, there is a lot of potential for evolving the economics and the systems of that part of the world in a more humane way, a way that has not been seen anywhere on the planet. So our focus really is towards generating the dialogue that would facilitate something like that.
Yeah, because I think one thing about that sets us apart as a magazine is, one, first and foremost, we are a fashion magazine. But one thing that when I knew, and I'm really so proud to have Jason and Connie as partners, is because I had an idea of what I wanted ASM to stand for, and we just didn't want it to be and not to say it in a negative way, but the cliche African magazine, and in the sense that they expected, and as much as, and that those the magazines that do so beautifully, but we definitely wanted to speak to things that are totally different. And if it happens to push buttons, so be it. Let us push the buttons, but let it bring a dialogue that people do not get to have with other African magazines per se. And they may have a dialogue, but really getting people to think really, really dig deep and ask, why did they choose to do the shoot, or why did they choose to interview this person? What's the whole idea of the theme of this issue, which is struggle and identity? Things like that is what we want people to really dig in deep and find it, and find a way to relate to it if you can. And if you don't, can't relate to it, that's fine, but maybe it would get you thinking. And that's something that we are so proud to actually do on such a different level. But of course, when people ask, like, what kind of magazine is this? We say it is a fashion magazine, but is a magazine with, I guess I would say, a subconscious or conscious fashion magazine, so to speak,
right,
that would make people want to actually sit down and peruse. And there's something for everybody. And I think why we are growing and we're doing so at such a really great pace, I think faster than we had expected or more than we had expected, is that people of other cultures outside of us and people of other backgrounds outside of us as Black people are actually seeing themselves in what we post in our articles. I mean, when people actually send us, when we post something about, you know, Frida Kahlo of South of Mexico, I mean, getting posts saying, thank you so much for acknowledging my culture, is a beautiful thing. As we as Africans and we as Black people want people to respect us as Africans and as a Black person, those same people from Asia, from Japan, from Thailand, who are actually thanking us for acknowledging their situation, acknowledging their people, they in turn turn around and they share things that are of African, you know, related issues, and they share it to their people. And I'm watching it, we're watching it, and we're seeing Asians sharing something that is of African, you know, background. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's basically what we want people to try and understand when it comes to ASM. So we don't want to just showcase the expected, which is great. We do that to a level, but we also go beyond that and want people to actually sit down and think and wonder and ask, why did you go in this direction? And we want to find out more. And that's what we are so open and we love. And that's why we have been, we're consistently working to evolve and be better with each issue.
Well, now, Maka and Jason, don't go anywhere. We're just going to take a short pause for the cause. I want to say to everybody out there, you are on Faces of Success Radio, the Eddie Jones Talk Show, with our special, special guests, Maka and Jason, who are from Afro Style Magazine, and this is a wonderful talk, wonderful, wonderful talk. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a short pause for the cause. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the magazine and listen to this wonderful song by Michael Jackson. It's called Black or White.
Rather hear both sides of the tale. See, it's not about races, just places, faces. Where your blood comes from is where you about being a color.
Do you agree with me when I saw you kicking dirt in my eyes?
Everybody, you are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show on Faces of Success Radio, and we have our very, very special guests from Afro Style Magazine. We have Amaka and Jason. Are you guys there?
We are with you.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so let's continue to talk about Afro Style Magazine. Please, one of you take the lead and go right into our discussion.
So Afrostyle is a multicultural kind of social consciousness and fashion magazine. It's based in Los Angeles, and the aim is to look at the world's cultures from an African perspective, to really take the view of, an African, a pan-Africanist, and look out at the world and all the things that are going on and say, well, how does how I present myself reflect my place in the world, and really do that from the perspective of the people who are often being talked about rather than doing the talk.
Well, now you all have a nonprofit organization, is that correct?
That's right. Afrostyle Magazine is a nonprofit, and so it exists basically from, our commitment and the donations of others. And so, we encourage anyone who checks out the magazine and who benefits from it to send us some ideas and give back and contribute in any way that they can. And if you go to afrostylemag.com, you'll see an interview with Maya Angelou, a civil rights activist who literally spoke to us from hiding in Uganda, named Kasha Nebgesera. It's very difficult for me to say her last name. I'm an American. We have messages from all over the world, and we're trying to synthesize an African viewpoint. We've spoken with Isaiah Washington, who's, famous for, his dealings with Grey's Anatomy and his, his turbulent history with Hollywood, and we got his perspective on, what he's been through. And we try to interpret visually cultures that many people, in my experience, even Black people in America, are only casually familiar with, but haven't really internalized. So, when you go to the site and you see all this material, know that it's being done essentially by a small team of three core individuals and a large team of contributors. And hopefully, anyone who views the magazine can contribute what it is that feels right to them.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you guys, do you do anything with, like, African food, or do you guys have, will you ever do a segment on food or cultural food or anything like that?
Go ahead, Amaka.
Not really. I've been asked that, and I don't really see that as something that I would want to really incorporate, not because it's not a good idea, but I think that is, to me, not a main focus in terms of speaking socially about things that we want people to be aware of. But if it was a situation where we had a TV show or something like that, then that could be something to think about. But in terms of for the magazine, I don't see it as an important factor.
Foods do kind of for themselves. You get some, and you kind of you learn to love it by tasting it, don't you?
Pretty much. So
let me ask
yeah.
you then: do you think you guys will ever be going to Washington D.C. to interview our President Barack Obama? Is that in the works?
I'll work on it. That's for sure.
I'll tell you my interest with President Obama, and I think he has the toughest job in the world, such an amazing position, but I'm excited to see what happens when he leaves office. And, you know, if we've seen the Clinton Foundation do amazing things throughout the world, I think the Obama Foundation is going to be a force we haven't even imagined. So my mind will be blown to have an interview with Barack Obama and Michelle Obama when they're, you know, 10 years out of office and really setting up some change unencumbered by Congress. So I look forward to an interview with Obama far in the future.
So Jason is telling me, I think at this point Jason is telling me I'm not going to get to work. So.
Well, you know, Jason and Amaka is so amazing because I just love President Barack Obama and all the great work that he's doing. It's unfortunately that when he's trying to sign these very important bills into legislation, the fight that he gets from the Republicans is just unbelievable. I can't believe. And I think it's kind of like an insult to America, not just the president. You know what I mean? If they could get past who he is as a man, he's a human being doing a wonderful job. If he could only get everyone's support, you know, for the things that he – I mean, who would have ever thought of Obamacare? Who would have ever thought of taking – you know what I mean? Who would have ever thought of using social media to get out very important, interesting things that can help the president do his job? Who would have ever thought of him signing a bill, him and Michelle, to help the veterans who have served our country, you know? Who would have ever thought of him signing a bill that's going to be starting up in 2016 to pardon the people's college fees?
A lot of what he's been doing has just made sense. It's just made sense, and it's something that was, you know, designed to, you know, give us the momentum we need as a society to unencumber ourselves from non-productive things. I mean, but a lot of what they've been able to use against him has been essentially for many years, and he's dispelled a lot of these rumors, but they've been able to use people's petty prejudices and ideas of what they believed he would do based on their, you know, uninformed ideas of his fundamental character to slow down a lot of things that could have made it positive progress for everyone except a few people who have an interest in the old order. And I think when we look at what it really means to be African, when we look at what it really means to be black, you know, through this magazine, we're able to pull away some of those blocks and some of those tools that people can use to manipulate people by ignorance. And because of the position blackness has taken in the world, because of how frankly low it is sat on the totem pole of kind of psychological prejudices, you know, if we remove the prejudices from the idea of blackness, we remove them from the ideas of all people. So if blackness is uplifted, no one can really look at anyone around the world as being inferior. I've heard from people, you know, in Israel, wonderful people who I consider dear friends of mine, they say, well, yeah, even in Israel, you know, if you're of brown skin, you are, you know, people know that you're of some kind of a lower class. I've heard this of, you know, dear friends from India, the same thing.
Well, you know, Jason, I got to chime in on that one, Jason. You know, these are accusations and assumptions that people who don't understand put out there every day, and that's why communication takes away the question mark. Communication opens up doors of comprehension of who you're dealing with, the human being. Because I tell people every day, no matter who you are, where you're from, you have a left and right leg. We all have to wash our face and brush our teeth. We all bleed blood, and we all breathe oxygen on the planet Earth. So, you know, Rodney King said in that very important statement, can't we all just get along?
Right. And enabling us to do so is really been the fundamental mission of AfroStyle, enabling us to ask those questions in a public fashion that people might have not had either the time or even the courage to ask. What really goes on in Africa? What does it look like? And why do people choose to do the things that they do? That's fundamentally been our mission, and we hope that everyone out there listening to your show and, you know, everyone really even in the world at large can take a look and chime in and give their opinions on the things that we talk about as well.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I go right ahead, Amaka. But I was just going to say before you started, Amaka, I was just going to say I am so happy that AfroStyle Magazine exists because, you know, education is everything. And a lot of things people don't know until they read about it, they learn about it. And when you all put your information out there, the magazine out there, it just really gives people a bigger picture of what they don't understand, and I love it. So go right ahead, Amaka.
Oh, yeah, thank you. No, what I was going to say was even as an African magazine, we are not afraid to also speak to issues that we as Africans, especially Kanye and myself, and of course Jason's our adopted African homeboy, but being able to speak to issues that we as Africans are free to speak about. For example, the idea of interviewing Kesha for this new issue would be looked at, in my opinion, as a taboo. You know, an LGBT activist, as an African, it would be, how dare you bring that to the forefront? But my question to people who asked me, why would you do that? My question to them is, why not? You know, if we're in the land of the free where they're still fighting for the rights of the gay and lesbian community, but they are making some kind of a progress, then why can't we at least hear the voice of those who are being killed or persecuted and punished just because of their you know, their preferences? And so that is something that we as an African magazine are not afraid to bring to the forefront. Whether you agree with what we do or whether we agree with who we're interviewing is a different story, but the fact that we are given a platform from people to be heard and using that as a way of people finding a way, giving people the ability to actually sit down and think and come to, you know, draw their own conclusions is what we also try to fix through the magazine.
Absolutely.
Well, and, you know, I must agree with you all 110%. Information, knowledge, wisdom is power. And when you put that in the magazine and people can read about it, like I said earlier, then they get a different understanding and they don't just see one side. There's always two sides. It's never just one side. So, again, I want to thank you all for coming on the show today. It's been a wonderful ride on the show today with you, Jason, and you, Amaka, and also, please give my regards to, is it Kanye?
Kanye,
yes.
Yes,
she's in.
Yes, please give her my give her my regards, and I'm going to be closing out the show here, but before I go, let's hear your closing remarks, Jason and Amaka. Amaka, please go first.
Just want to thank you for giving us the platform to speak about ASM. This is really, I think, the first time we've really kind of gone public, so to speak. We've always been to ourselves working on the magazine consistently, but I thank you for giving us the platform to speak about ASM. And just like Jason said, and it is a nonprofit organization, so we do appreciate, you know, donations that are given or contributions that are given. And, you know, please, you know, pass the word along. We are generating attention, and that's a great thing. And be on the lookout for our ASM 11. Kanye's in South Africa preparing for a shoot there, our very first international shoot. So, you know, just follow us on our social pages and to be kept abreast on, you know, everything, and just enjoy the pictures and articles and stuff we post on there.
And I will leave it at that. In the words of Dr. Maya Angelou, there is indeed still much more to be done. And we hope to be around for a long time to do that. Thank you very much for having us on, Eddie.
Well, you know, Jason and Amaka, I am so happy that you all came on the show. I was really looking forward to this segment. Both segments were very, very important today. And I want to thank you all for allowing me to launch you out into the
public. I feel so privileged to be a part of this, and so it's history. And also too, once the show is over, it'll be, you know, you can always go to Blog Talk Radio, Faces of Success, and you can listen to the show, and you can post it on your Facebook page, Twitter page, Instagram page, wherever you want to, and let people hear this very important show. I'm speaking to all the listeners out there right now. Don't forget to move this show around and share it with all your friends. And we have some very important topics coming up for next week, and I'm not going to share. I'm going to leave a question mark there, but it's going to be very, very interesting topics. This was wonderful, Amatha and Jason. I want to thank you. I hope you have a wonderful day. And everybody out there, get Afro Style Magazine and read, and look at the beautiful pictures with all the different creative designs by Jason and Amaka and Kanye. So God bless you guys, all right?
Thank you very much.
All right, you guys have a beautiful day, and I'll be in touch, and thank you for coming on the Eddie Jones Talk Show.
Great.
Thank you, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody out there, the show today was about college and how to get into college, and also the show was about Afro Style Magazine, and I really enjoyed Amaka and Jason, and I want to thank them for coming on. I want to also thank Miss Queen of Hall, and I want to leave you all with a song. It's USA for Africa, We Are the World. Here we go. And until next week, take care. God bless you. Much love and peace. Don't let nobody steal your joy. And remember, the best is yet to come. You are on the Eddie Jones Talk Show. I'll talk to you real soon. Bye for now.
Yeah.